Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Mugwump Tower, this is Albatross 1-3, requesting permission to land. Over.
I don't need a computer to tell me how to land a damn airplane.
Six.
Heads-up display, check.
Five.
Lasers, check.
Four.
Particle beam, check.
Three.
Proton bolts, check.
Two.
Chair control, check.
One.
Let's do it.
Broadcasting from a secret underground location somewhere in Mos Eisley, this is the Docking Bay 77 podcast. Make yourself comfortable. The show is about to start.
Base. And dreams of passion, and all the while I think of you. A very strange reaction.
Hello and happy Halloween. This is the Docking Bay 77 podcast. I am your Halloween host, Dayton Johnson. It's the zombie apocalypse. I'm excited. I brought a couple of friends by, and we're going to see how well we do in this apocalypse. First off, a guy that is frequently mistaken for a zombie. Hello, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. And if it is indeed the zombie apocalypse, I'm heading to the graveyard for the greatest game of whack-a-mole ever seen.
Awesome. All right. And a woman that has her own rules for the zombie apocalypse. Please welcome back to the podcast, JP. How are you?
I am doing great. Thank you. And I got to tell you, being in the video industry, I often look like a zombie from all the hours I work. So I'm fit right in with this.
Yeah. Some days when I'm delivering mail, I look like a zombie too. Yeah. It's great. So we are, like I said, we are continuing our celebration of Halloween. And I did mention it is a zombie apocalypse. So the topic, is it time to nut up or shut up? Or is it time to head down to the Winchester? Which movie does the zombie apocalypse better, Shaun of the Dead or Zombieland?
Oh, I'm sorry, Sean.
It's all right.
No. I'm sorry, Sean.
Oh! Oh, my God, that's rotten!
I'll stop doing them when you start laughing.
I am not laughing, John.
Don't get all stingy with your bullets. I mean, one more clean shot to the head. And this lady could have avoided becoming a human Happy Meal. Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
You're the one that's gone from being a chartered accountant to Charlton Heston. I'm not a chartered accountant.
Well, you look like one. Yeah.
I'm a lecturer.
You're a twat.
Yeah. She's not your mum anymore.
You got taken hostage by a 12-year-old.
12 girls mature faster than boys. She's way ahead of where I was at that age.
12's the new 20. Gun, please.
Like you would ever use that thing. Oh, kill me with my own gun!
We are going to discuss Shaun of the Dead. Some facts about the movie. It was released on September 24th, 2004. Released by Universal Pictures and Rogue Pictures. Written by Simon Pegg and Edgar Wright. Directed by Edgar Wright. Starring Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, Kate Ashfield, Lucy Davis, Bill Nighy. It is part of the Three Flavors Cornetto Trilogy, or the Cornetto Trilogy, or the Blood and Ice Cream Trilogy. The other movies included in this trilogy are Hot Fuzz and The World's End. The runtime of 99 minutes, had a budget of $6 million, and ended up making over $30 million worldwide. So pretty good investment for an independent film. So, John, when and where did you see Shaun of the Dead?
Oh, man. I heard about this from a coworker of mine who was really into like independent cinema and really into like horror movies. And I love horror movies. I love a good comedy. He was talking about it. I believe at the time it had probably already been out of the theaters. I don't remember it making a big splash at the time it was released.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure I saw it on home video the first time I saw it.
Yeah. What about you, JP?
I can't remember last week, so I can't remember back that far. So I feel like I saw it in a theater here in Nashville, but I can't guarantee it. I just know I saw it
right
at some point when it came out.
Okay.
I did later get to see it in a theater. I got to see it as part of a screening of the trilogy.
Oh, nice. Okay. No, this one was strictly a home video for me on a recommendation. It might have even been you that recommended it to me, John, because I am not a big fan of horror films because I think most of them are crap. But this one, you know, it's like, so I think it was described as Dawn of the Dead, but funny. And I'm like, okay, maybe I'm in for that. So, and I'm glad I did because I totally love this movie. So.
Ever think that modern life is not for you? Do you do the same dead-end job every day? Is your love life dying on its feet?
To a wonderful mom.
Oh, have you ever felt that you're turning into
Slain of the World?
A zombie. Maybe you're not alone.
She said.
Although no one official is prepared to comment, religious groups are calling it Judgment Day.
It is vital that you stay in your homes. Avoid all physical contact with the assailants.
Holy God!
So, what's the plan?
Bash him in the head, that seems to work out.
Why have we got to go to Lizzie?
Because I love her.
All right, gay.
Do something! Right there! Hold
it there! I'm coming! Here they come! Dibba
All right, let's get into some likes. John, what do you got for us about Shaun of the Dead?
Oh, this is going to be likes. It's hard to narrow down because This is one of my favorite movies. There, you know, we talked about it last week when we were talking about The Crow. There are certain movies that I have to watch every Halloween.
Right.
The Crow and this are one of them, but those are also two movies that if I come across them and they're streaming or they're on a, you know, channel or something like that, I'm going to watch them because okay. I just love them so much. I mean, this is the overall story, the comedy, they're, It's a zombie movie, and it's not a zombie movie. It's more of a romance story or a buddy movie, and the fact that it's a zombie movie without a ton of gore, it's
right. You know, it's well placed when it is there. It's well placed.
It's well placed, and it's not overdone.
Right. Yeah. They don't even like to use the Z word, which is a nice joke in the movie. You know. So JP, what do you like about this one?
Okay, I'm going to tell you guys, no one was more shocked than me to realize that I could write a dissertation on this film. So get ready, get comfy.
All
get
right, sure. I got my drink. I'm good.
Yeah.
I got my cool pint. We're going to wait for this all to blow over.
This is a really well-crafted movie. So my first like on it is efficient storytelling.
Right. Okay.
It's a very efficient in its storytelling style, which I love. And I will give you an example of that. The very opening scene. In that 1 3-minute scene, 3-minute, 30-second scene, we find out all this. Sean's comfort zone is his routine, and he has no interest in putting any effort into his life other than what he's doing. Sean places his friendship with man-child Ed ahead of his relationship with Liz.
Yes.
Sean's not the sharpest tool in the shed. And he and Liz don't seem like a good match. example, he doesn't know what the word exacerbate means, and I can't pronounce it apparently. At least I know what it means. I may not be able to pronounce it, but I know what it means. David seems overly protective of Liz, which seems odd. Diane and David aren't a good match. And there's an issue with Sean's mother that we should all be curious about.
Thank you.
Like, all of those storylines are very important to the script.
Right.
And they're carried throughout the majority of the film, and they're all resolved by the end of the film. So you're given everything you need to know to care about these storylines in the first 3 minutes and 30 seconds of this film. And on a side note, I want to preach for a minute. Modern filmmakers, watch this film. You need to get back to efficient storytelling instead of thinking that every movie needs to be 3 hours long. Please. Thank you. End of preach. Okay. My second one. I know this is going to be, you're going to edit me out of this whole thing. Okay. Visual storytelling. Love the visual storytelling.
Yes.
The title sequence.
Yes.
It just shows how people can easily become zombies in their own lives by succumbing to the doldrums of the everyday. But that idea of this soul-sucking routine we all go through is visualized through a different kind of routine, a dance routine.
Right.
You know, so that's brilliant. The scene where Sean travels to the Quick Mart the first time, we have all the locals doing their thing in the background. Sean sees each day and he glances kind of casually at people. He focuses on, you know, getting his quick into the Quick Mart, getting his morning soda and snack out of the freezer. Then the second time he travels the path, everything is different. There's a hole in the windshield of that car, the guy's washing. The street cleaner's car's overturned. There's bloody handprints on the freezer. But he's hungover as usual and doesn't notice any of it, right?
He even slips in blood and doesn't realize what he did.
Exactly. So that tells you everything. The juxtaposition between those two things tells you, a lot about him and where he is in his life. So, with no dialogue, the director has conveyed that Sean's life is stunted and he's not really living at all. He's like a zombie already. And it poses the question to the viewer, are you stunted in your life? And oblivious to the world around you.
Right, right.
Brilliant. Okay. All right. Number three. I'm going to try to get through these fast. This is great.
She's going deep on zombies.
I'm telling you, I wrote a freaking dissertation. I want to go back to film school to write about this movie. Use of threads. Oh my gosh. The use of threads through this movie is great. There's a few basic ones. You know, that word exasperate is all the way through it. The flower bouquet is all the way through it. The flower bouquet, the leaving the front door open, the groomsman comes in. Then
groomsman.
Okay. Yes, because he's in it. I'm assuming that's what he's in, a tux.
Well, because he shows up the day before when he's in the shop, and then he shows up later, which I love. The opening
all the
credits
zombies show up in the opening credits.
Yes. Everybody we see later it's great.
And also from talking about the budget, brilliant to reuse. Right. All these people, brilliant budget wise to have all the same people, all the same wardrobe. Brilliant. Okay. So, but back to the threads. You've got red on you. These are a little more meaningful. I think these actually have some like meaning behind them because, he starts out, it's ink, from his pen, and then it goes to actual zombie blood. So it's like almost with the ink, it's foreshadowing what's going to happen.
Right.
Later. And then this is the best one. He's not my dad.
Yes.
Red. has the most powerful impact because the last time someone says that to Sean, he has his same immediate reaction. He's not my dad. But then he shows that he now understands that Philip truly loved him. And he says, he was my dad.
Right.
So I love that. Anyway, threads are great. Quickie, love the editing. It's like a comic book. And a shout out. This should be in my favorite scenes, but I'm going to say it now. The Smiths panic on the radio. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay, there you go. Oh.
Loved it. Okay.
They do some great stuff with that stuff. There's a lot of little hidden scenes and stuff like that where he's flipping through the channels, where he's discussing the cable program, the cable package with the with the customers, and there's the guy outside scooping up the bird and trying to eat it. And
the lady that drops dead at the bus stop, you know, right in front of him.
There's so many little hidden Easter eggs just in the opening of this movie. It's ridiculous. There's references to Army of Darkness. There's references to Night of the Living Dead. There's references to, you know, countless other movies.
Yeah. And, well, even towards the end, when they say that the cause of it of being the monkeys, rabid angry, which is of course a nod to 28 Days Later, and they talk about the very beginning how there's a satellite breaking the Earth's atmosphere early. So there's all these little things they're placing in there, and I love how the very beginning he's flipping through, and there's that game show where people are, I guess, you know, bungeed up or whatever, trying to get down to that, you know, lane. And then at the end of the movie, it's there are zombies all tied up the same way, so they just replaced those people with zombies. And so I just thought, you know, there are lots of things they did with media and how we just kind of accept what's going on but really pay attention, and then they used it throughout the entire movie, and it was just so well done.
Yes.
So well done. Love. Agree. It all right, John. Yeah. You got something else for us, John?
Yeah, I love the way that the zombies kept aspects of their personalities.
Okay, all right.
If you notice, like when Sean goes to the shop to get, one day it's a Coke, and after he realizes that he's got to grow up, and the next day it's a Diet Coke.
right.
but yes. I can't remember the shopkeeper's name now. It just left my head. But he's behind the counter, and he's got his hand out. He wants his money.
Right. Yeah.
You know, later in the film, you see the guy pushing the shopping carts is a zombie pushing the shopping carts.
Right.
You know, yeah. They've learned in the end, they learn to live with the zombies. But it's another little subtle nod to one of the Dawn of the Dead films series. I think it's City of the Dead, if I'm not mistaken, in which the zombies start to gain a little bit of intelligence, and they basically start inhabiting a city, and they start taking on jobs of all things. You know, Romero was really subtle in how he hid stuff like that. And there's an underlying theme to it. And I think you see that in this movie as well. I think JP said it very well, you know, that, you know, we go through this life like a zombie, so many of us.
Right.
And I think that's kind of the underlying premise and theme of this.
Yeah. She mentioned the threads, but one of the other things is the foreshadowing, which of course they do in the opening credits. But later when Pete is, you know, he's really mad and he's yelling at Ed saying, if you want to be an animal, why don't you live in the shed? Which of course is where Ed ends up at the end of the movie. He was living in the shed. So there's all kinds of things laced throughout the movie leading up, you know, and they all get resolved. So, and then, with as ridiculous as this movie is, I kind of feel that this is how it would play out a little bit if there was a zombie apocalypse. It would just be a lot of people screwing up, and mm-hmm. bad plans, and, you know, people not paying attention. And just, it, you know, why, if you made the comic shows, as you know, this movie is ridiculous, but it's believable. And I don't know if that's a good or bad thing.
Yeah. It's believable.
Yes, yeah. Unfortunately.
You mentioned foreshadowing, and that's something that I forgot to mention, is that when Liz breaks up with Sean and Ed are at the bar, and Ed's describing what they're going to do the next day, you know, go here, do this. If you listen closely, that's the entire plot of the next day. That's exactly what happens the next day.
Right.
You know, it's, I can't say enough good things about this movie. I really can't.
Right. Yeah. Well, this, like the little things when they go, the couple outside the pub, they're making out, but aren't making out at the end of the night because the head falls off. Yeah. Just the jokes, you know, throughout the movie. And of course, use of music, which you always get with Edgar Wright movie.
I love that part.
Yeah. It's just too funny. I really like the female version of Sean, Yvonne. She cracks me up because she's what Sean would be if he got his life sorted out. You know what I mean? You know, she bought a house in there, and he was all surprised. Well, you bought a house. And, you know, it's like, it's the, her and her friends are the anti-Sean, you know, they're like, everybody is doing it okay, in her group just a little bit better than what his group is doing. So I just think that's funny.
She was also a co-star with him in a series called Space, Based. Which I highly recommend if you can find it.
Right.
So was Nick Frost. And
right.
I feel embarrassed to say this, but since you brought it up, I never realized that was Martin Freeman in that group. And so
really
recently,
well, he's only in it for a second. Yeah,
I know. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. You're kind of like, you know, you don't really notice it. Like, well, back when this came out,
I don't know if I knew who he was.
Yeah. At that point, we're just kind of like, you know, he wasn't really anybody, but now he's in everything, you know? And so we kind of can't get away from him because at this around the same time that he was in Love Actually, which is a Christmas movie you watch every year, and you watch that and then you look at him. Well, he was friggin' Bilbo, and he was, you know, he's in the MCU, and you know, it's just funny to see where he has like a barely like a line. I think it's just what's so funny. I guess
I don't think he says anything actually.
Okay. Well, they all say hello to each other as they walk past each other. Maybe they're doppelgangers. It just cracks me up.
I've known him since primary school. You know, I like having him around. He's a laugh.
Well, because he can impersonate an orangutan. Fuck a doodle-doo.
Oh, leave him alone.
All right. I admit, he can be pretty funny on occasion. Like that time we stayed up all night drinking apple schnapps and playing Tekken 2.
Oh, yeah. When was that?
That was 5 years ago. When's he going home?
Okay. I might be the only one that has any, but John, do you have any dislikes for the movie?
Dislikes as far as the movie, not really. I mean, I'm probably going to be in the minority and say that I probably would have liked it to be just a tad longer because I just love it so much.
Okay.
But
it's a quick movie. It's a quick movie.
It is quick. It's very quick paced, but it works for it. So yeah,
it does.
I don't know if it would work as well longer. I find it a little hard to believe Ed's infatuation with Sean's mom. That's probably just it's a very minor thing on my part.
That's the least of my concerns with Ed. I'll be really honest.
And I didn't take that as creepy. I just thought he was messing with Sean when he would do it.
I did too, but then it's like, is it creepy or is Ed, you know,
Ed? She's like,
I love Ed.
I have problems with Ed, so we'll get to that when it's my turn.
Well, no, let's dissect Ed.
Well, JP mentioned Sean's mom.
Mm-hmm.
She bothers me. And there is a big difference. She becomes too much of a joke. There is a big difference between a sweet old lady and somebody who's just completely naive. And I don't know where they were trying to go with her because she seems, it's just weird because she just seems so oblivious to everything. Well, some men tried to get in and, you know, it's like, you know, and then they're trying to get away and she stands in that guy's yard. Oh, I think so-and-so used to live here. And then she gets bit. And because she was just standing there, it's like, why aren't you keeping up with the rest of the group? I don't know what that joke was. Cause the joke at first it was funny with Ed and the mom and everything, but then it got to be where I'm just like, she got on my nerves. She bothered me because I didn't like where they took her character. She was very sweet. And when she had, you know, when she got shot in the head, it was like, oh my God, I can't believe you did that. But I don't know. I don't like her. Her character was incredibly flawed for me and was kind of distracting.
Yeah. I agree that they didn't explain it very well, but there's also, could she handle having a second husband die? And was she already in denial?
I think so.
I agree. They didn't make that clear or strong, That's how I took it, is that she was just done. Once she knew Philip was going to die, she just tuned out.
Yeah. I think she just couldn't hack it.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, that's so honestly, fair. Honestly, I think you'd see more people, if there were a true zombie apocalypse, I think you'd see more people acting that way than you do acting like Sean and his clan or his friends and their clan. I mean, most of us would not have a clue about how to handle any of that stuff. So,
true.
I think she's just a sweet old lady that's in way over her head. and lost and doesn't know what to do.
All right. Well, I do want to talk about Ed, because at the beginning of this movie, Ed is hilarious. But then halfway through the movie, I want him to die. I'm not kidding. Really? Okay. He's funny. And then, okay, they go over to pick up Sean's mom. Still funny. Well, they come back out and he, as he says, I craned it. So he crashed the car on purpose to drive the Jag. Fine. I'll give him that one. Then he drives like an absolute maniac, you know, and he just doesn't seem to have any kind of common sense at all. Like no sense of how urgent it is. And he actually gets offended when Sean yells at him to stop telling him to, you know, chill out. And like, dude, you're being a dick, you know? And then the phone call in front of the Winchester, he puts the coins in the machine when they're trying to be quiet and that goes off. It's like, he just keeps, at some point it's just, okay. He gets the redemption at the very end of the movie, but you know, from the middle to the end, he's just on my nerves, And he wasn't at the first third of this movie. I was laughing at everything he did. And then he got to the point where I'm just like, oh my God, you know, cause if he wasn't driving like a maniac and whatever, it just, he, and I know he's the reason, one of the reasons why Sean is the way he is, but oh my God, dude, use your brain.
Can I give you my dissertation?
You grew right ahead.
Okay. Cause I really, he got on my nerves too. And then I watched it again and it hit me what his purpose was. And then he landed on one of my favorite characters list.
So
he went from not liking him to being on one of my favorites. So
it's two against one now, Dayton. Look out.
I'm used to that. Come on.
So Ed, you have to think back to when they were like 10, 11, whenever, you know, Sean's biological father died. You know, he's friends with Ed. Ed saw at a very young age his best friend traumatized.
Right.
Right. And I realized the whole point of them making a point of Ed not having a job is because Ed made his job back when they were a kid, making Sean laugh and making Sean forget his pain.
Right.
And like another thread is the whole, I'll stop doing it when you stop laughing.
Right.
Yep.
You know, and that's when it all clicked for me. Ed's job is protecting, you know, a 10 or 11 year old Sean.
Right. Okay.
And he takes that job very seriously.
Yeah.
And again, at the end, when you were talking about when he gets upset that Sean yells at him. And well, how would a 10 or 11 year old act if this person he's been protecting all these years, you know, his best friend, suddenly lashes out at him? He acts out. He refuses to open the car door. It's like, it's, you know, it's a tantrum. Almost. It's an adult tantrum. So anyway, I ended up thinking he was an important part of the film.
I didn't say it wasn't important. He really tests my patience in this. And because it's like the more I watch it, the more I go, yeah, he might be there looking out for his friend. But if that's the case, then, you know, he crashes Pete's car on purpose. He drives like a maniac in the Jag when they're not supposed to take the Jag. He's doing things on purpose to make it harder for Sean. He's not helping. He's literally making it harder at that point. And, you know, he gets redeemed when the gun is actually loaded. And, you know, when he offers to stay in the basement and, you know, let Liz and Sean go. But like I said, the first third of this movie, I'm laughing at everything he does. In fact, one of my favorite scenes is because of one of his expressions. So anyway, okay. The only other thing I don't like about the movie is the zombies move way too slow. And I'm just like, okay, it's always a joke in zombie movies anyway, but you know, they throw like what, two laundry baskets full of stuff at these two in their garden and they still don't get to them. It just cracks me up. Like, okay, whatever. And it hurts me that they're throwing records.
I love that scene though. That is so great.
I know, yes. But it's just like, it's funny, but like, what was that? That was my first record I ever bought. You know, just stuff like that. It was just, cracks me up. Anyway, so I mean, for the most part, I love the movie, but there's a couple of things that bother me, but that's it.
Yeah.
Any other? Well, I know John doesn't have any. Do you have anything else, JP?
I have one thing.
Okay, cool.
I didn't like the cynical turn it took at the end with the showing the zombies being used for sport and forced labor and all that. I didn't enjoy that, but
how is it different from us, from regular people being used?
Well, that's the thing. I do think it is making the bigger statement that humans can be worse monsters than actual monsters.
I think so.
Ultimately. And I understand it's brilliant in that way. It's just, I personally just didn't enjoy it. And that's not how I wanted the movie to end for me. But again, I also get the message it's sending, you know, so I get why they did it. So that's it for me.
All right.
The only other thing I'd add that I don't particularly care for, and it's not a total dislike, I can't stand David.
But you're not supposed to.
You really aren't supposed to.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a tribute to how good the character was written and how good it was played.
Yeah,
I can't. When he finally meets his end,
which is very gory,
which I love. Yeah,
it's the bloodiest scene. It's the bloodiest scene in the movie.
That's my
favorite.
Yeah, because it's so old school. It's like the intestines getting ripped out of the body. Yeah. It's old school zombie. I love it.
Right. But that little Harry Potter looking dude, I was so glad he died. I hate to say that about a character, but I didn't like him because he's constantly, you know, nobody saw any redeeming qualities in Sean. Granted, I mean, you could argue Liz did because she does love Sean and Ed loves Sean, as we said. But David is the one guy that, you know, and we all have these people in our lives that all he does is point out the negative and the shit that we do wrong. That's all he does. You know, he's mismatched with Diane, as JP said. He's got a huge crush on Liz. And I think that's the only reason why he's with Diane is like eventually he thinks it's going to get into Liz.
It's his way to be around Liz.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You know, again, it's a tribute to how well it was written and played, but I cannot stand that guy.
Yeah. I hear you. I don't like him either, but you're right. We all have somebody somewhere in our life that does nothing but complain, you know.
Feel free to step in anytime.
You do all right?
Didn't want to cramp your style.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, John, favorite scene?
Favorite scene? I don't, man, this is a tough one. It's because it's not so much scenes, but like parts of scenes. I love it when Ed and Sean are drunk coming out of the Winchester. the night of the zombie apocalypse. And they're singing White Lines.
Right.
I love that. I love the scene with the records, you know, or even leading up to the records where I think the shop girl's name's Mary.
Mary, yep.
And she's attacking Sean. And what does Ed do? Ed runs into the house to get the disposable camera.
That's actually my favorite scene because the whole situation is just funny. And he 2 seconds and he comes back in and takes the picture. But what I love out of that is when he, you know, Sean pushes her away and she falls on that pipe or whatever. And the blood shoots up and they're both. And then the look on Ed's face is just hilarious. Sean looks terrified. He's just kind of like, oops.
Ed's advancing the camera.
I know. And she gets back up. He's like, oh my God. I love that whole thing. And then they turn and then there's the big guy. And oh, that's my favorite scene because it makes me laugh so much.
The other great part is they go inside, you know, and they close the curtains. Are they still out there? Yeah.
And then they have a sit down. And then they, of course, the front door is open and then comes the groom. Oh, I love it. All right, JP, favorite scene?
Okay. It's going to be scenes. Because I'm like, right. I'm like,
I have
the rest
another
of
one
you.
Too. So,
okay, great, great, great. I have to say, the dramatic, my favorite scene is when Philip actually tells Sean he loves him.
Okay, right.
And almost treats him like that 12 year old that he first met. To me, again, that says a lot in very few words is like, you know, I wonder how many parents all feel regret at some point about how they handled things.
Right.
And I think Philip is finally realizing that Sean didn't need negative reinforcement all those years, which is what Philip gave him.
Right.
He needed positive reinforcement, and he chooses to give it to him in that moment. And, you know, and Bill Nighy, come on, showing all his right. acting chops so there. So I'm glad they gave him that moment to do that. And I thought that was, you know, really important. And then, you know, Sean, you know, and that also leads to Sean realizing he's got to separate from Ed. So again, very, you know, important. And again, all of this stuff happens in like a two minute scene. So going back to the efficient storytelling thing,
right?
That's really good. Okay. The comedy scenes are Diane teaching the how to be a zombie acting class.
Yes.
The line, vacant with a hint of sadness, like a drunk who's lost a bet. That, I love that scene. But my honorable mentions for the comedic ones are when they're doing the records, throwing the records at the zombie. I
love that.
And, you know, and Ed hits Purple Rain. No, Batman soundtrack. Throw right, it.
Yeah, I know.
That one's great. And I know you don't like, Dayton, you've said you don't like the mom character, but I'm sorry. It cracks me up when they're doing the visualization of the scenario. Oh, yeah. And the look on her, the smile on her face, yep. And she's almost leaping out each time. That's how Sean's yes. visualizing his, you know, his mom being rescued.
Right.
And then Coldplay putting on a benefit concert called Zombaid instead of Farmaid. I don't know why that cracked me up, but it did.
All right.
Okay. That's it.
Okay. So my other scene that I always really enjoy is they are at the Winchester and Sean's disappeared. You know, he led the mob away and they're in there waiting for him. And he's coming back. And of course, David's being a total dick, like, you know, the entire movie. And he starts throwing snacks at everybody. And he throws the pig snacks and Sean catches it off screen. And then everybody's like, you know, he's like, open him up. Like, oh yeah, I'm here. And you know, his mom is thrilled, calls him Pickle, which is just hilarious. And then there's a look on Liz's face of both like relief and also impressed that, oh my God, he actually did something right. So I love that. But what makes the scene funnier is when David's having his tantrum, he's like, what's his big plan? What, to sit here in the dark and eat peanuts? And then he shows up, they have a nice, you know, he has his moment. And then she looks at him and goes, so what's the plan then? And then they cut to the next scene where they're sitting in the dark. He goes, does anybody want a peanut?
Yeah, that's great.
It's hilarious. It's a perfect setup. You know, it's like he has this moment. Sean is being awesome. And then all of a sudden, nope, he didn't think the plan completely through, did he? So it's just very funny. Very funny. So,
all right. And I love it when the owner comes stumbling out as a zombie and Queen, the power comes back on and Queen's playing on the jukebox and they're just beating in unison to
oh yeah,
Don't Stop Me Now. Yeah. And I love that because it repeats a scene from the earlier, you know, who played this? It's on random.
Right. I know. Right. And but the funny thing is I cannot hear that song without seeing that scene anymore. It's impossible. I love that song, but every time like hear it on the radio or whatever, I'm like, I just see it in my mind. It's just hilarious. Love it. How about pull?
Okay, John, it's time at the bar.
Okay, John, favorite character?
Favorite character for me, and I'm cheating probably, but it's Sean.
Okay,
with a close. Another one is Philip because I love Bill Nighy and his performance. He's so understated. He's so stoic, like you said. And then he has that moment in the car where he realizes he's not going to make it and he needs to tell Sean what Sean needed to hear.
Right.
But Sean is, you know, I relate so much to Sean because Sean tries so, you know, we've said he has no direction and that's true, but when he tries to do something, he tries to do it for the right reason. And he tries to do it to the best of his ability. He's just not good at doing it. And I can relate to that so much.
All right. JP, favorite character.
I'm cheating too because I'm saying Sean.
That's okay. That was what I had, but I also did I put Philip. So
well, then there you go. Yeah, but I also talked earlier about how Ed miraculously landed on my favorites list as well because his purpose finally dawned on me while I was there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for all those reasons, just Sean, like I said, well-crafted movie. His character development is great during the whole thing, and I root for him.
Right.
Okay. Through the whole thing, even though he's a man child, I'm rooting for him to realize his worth and to get his life together, as all women do for men like that.
I just love it when he rips the dart out of his head and the blood just goes out of it. Just so funny.
We could talk about this movie all night. I know. Okay.
But dogs can look up. Sorry. All right. So a few questions before we move on to the next movie. What is your weapon of choice? A shovel or a cricket bat? John.
I'm going to go cricket bat.
All right. JP.
Definitely cricket bat. Shovel's too unwieldy.
But a cricket bat's going to break. So I'm going with the shovel.
Those are shoveled.
Whatever. All right. A favorite death, John.
David's.
All right.
Of the JP. Main cast, but of the zombies, Mary. Whatever Mary with, like you mentioned, the table or the umbrella stand going through her, and that scene where she gets up and you look through the wound. I love that.
Yeah.
It's so unexpected and so well done.
Yep. Agreed. JP.
Well, my favorite zombie death is actually in the next movie, Zombieland. So I have to go with David's intestines getting taken ripped out. I know I'm supposed to be killing a zombie, but no.
That's all right. No, I just said favorite death. So no worries. My favorite is when Pete gets shot because he walks out. And of course, it's funny because Ed goes, "Hey, look who it is." And then Sean's like, "Fuck a doodle doo," which is a callback to, Pete earlier. And then he yells at him, leave him alone, and then shoots him right in the head. It's great. Love that scene. So, okay. Is this your favorite Edgar Wright movie? If not, which one is? John.
Oh, man. This is a close. I have a tie. It's between this and Hot Fuzz. I love both those movies so much. So this time of year, yes. The rest of the year, it might be Hot Fuzz.
All right. JP?
Yes, because it's the only one I've seen.
What?
Honest answer.
I watched all the previews and I went, oh, yeah, I wanted to see that. Oh, yeah. I remember when that came out.
Well, go ahead.
I didn't. I got some work to do.
So. Yes, you do. This is not my favorite. Scott Pilgrim versus the World is my favorite. I adore that freaking movie. It's so much fun from beginning to end. And yes, that's my favorite of his movies. Okay. Moving on to Zombieland.
Planet Earth. Home to over 6 billion people. Today, our very existence is threatened by epidemics, climate change, and dwindling resources. But those are the least of our problems. Welcome to Zombieland.
My mother always told me, someday you'll be good at something. I mean, I don't think she could have guessed that something would be zombie killing.
What do you think? Zombie Kill of the Week?
Close, but no cigar. Zombie Kill of the Week went to Miss Cynthia Knickerbocker.
Gotta enjoy the little things.
Everybody, be so. Whoa.
fellas really let themselves go.
Zombieland.
You guys want some Purell?
Yes.
Yeah.
Released October 2nd, 2009 from Columbia and Sony Pictures. Written by Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick. Directed by Ruben Fleischer in his feature film debut. Starring Jesse Eisenberg, Woody Harrelson, Emma Stone, Abigail Breslin, and Bill Murray. All right, so John, when and where did you see this?
Probably opening weekend or thereabouts. And I did see it in the theater. So yeah.
Okay.
Just don't remember which one. It's been a long time.
All right, JP.
Me too. I have no idea. But probably in the theater, but not opening weekend.
This was another rental for me. I remember bringing it home, putting it in, and I was all in from the beginning. As soon as I heard "For Whom the Bell Tolls" from Metallica, I'm like, I like this movie already. Didn't take long. But just and it's very just a lot of fun. I totally love this movie. So
you might want to buckle up, you know, for safety.
I can tell already you are gonna get on my nerves.
Let's get into likes. John,
there are a lot, again, like Shaun of the Dead, there are a lot of little subtle stuff in this movie that's to like. Yep. There's a lot of little hidden gems. You know, the writer, I forget the gentleman's name, but he appears in the credits. He's the or the opening montage, he's the guy wearing the tuxedo, like the spy shooting the zombies.
Oh, right. Okay.
John C. Reilly from Talladega Nights and Skull Island fame is the clown zombie that kills the guy in the bathroom. I just found that out not too long ago.
I'm going to have to look at that again because I don't think I realized that was the guy.
I didn't either. It's not credited to my knowledge, but it showed up on IMDb. So it's got to be true.
Right. Yeah, right. Well, I like how the guy in the bathroom that gets killed in the opening is also the one that they pull the ring on later. So yeah.
Again, it's a brief movie. It's to the point. There's very little setup. I mean, when we first find Columbus, he's the apocalypse is already on us. So I like the fact that it just jumps in and you kind of get the backstory as we go along.
Okay. All right. JP, likes?
I'm not as enthusiastic about this one as I was Sean, which means your program will be shorter, which will be great.
That's okay. I'll make up for it.
Okay, great. I do like the overall theme that, you know, broken people finding comfort in each other and forming a family. That's, you know, that's what carries it through. It's good editing through it. It paces great.
Yep.
Zombie makeup is really good.
Yeah. It's fantastic. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like how it's gorier. Like, even though it's kind of a comedy, the zombie part of it is kind of gory.
The stuff coming out of their mouths and just the 406's transformation, you know, from, you know,
yes,
pretty next door neighbor to all of a sudden she's just falling apart. These zombies are way more scary than in Shaun of the Dead. These would make me run.
Definitely.
work my cardio for sure.
Yeah. And also, like, I think it has really good action car work,
right? Oh yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, the scene where Tallahassee spins the SUV around just shooting.
I know, right?
In a circle. The 12-year-old boy in me loved that. So anyway, so yeah, so those are that, you know, it's entertaining. Yes.
Okay. I love the rules. I think that's a funny way to explain Columbus. The quest for Twinkies cracks me up because the funny thing is, the whole time I'm watching this movie, I'm like going, you know, I don't love Twinkies like this. But in my brain, I'm coming up with something else, like a Little Debbie snack cake, you know, that would be my quest, mm-hmm. you know, but, the Twinkie gag is funny. The zombie kill of the week, gag. I really enjoy that the discussion, and then they have the nun drop the piano on the zombie. I love that whole idea because they keep having that conversation.
What do you think? Zombie kill of the week?
Close, but no cigar. Zombie kill of the week goes to Sister Cynthia Knickerbocker.
Poor flat bastard.
You already mentioned the pacing and the editing is really good. It's a nice balance between zombie interaction and character building. You know, it's hard, you know, two people getting to know each other. I just have so much fun watching this movie. The music, especially, there's some great music drops in here. You know, of course, we have Metallica, Van Halen, Blue Oyster Cult, Willie Nelson. So yeah, sorry, there's some good music in here. And I love the cast. If you look at IMDb, you kind of see Eisenberg had done a few things. Emma Stone had done a few things, but this really kind of, if you look after it, this is when they both really started having a massive career. Of course, Harrelson already had one. Abigail Breslin, she kind of had a career too. And then she does this. And then afterwards it's, you know, not as great, but whatever. I love the on-screen chemistry. I think it was a lot of fun. There's every single one of them brings a different personality, and I think it works really well. And the reveal for Tallahassee. It's like, you know, he's talking about his puppy at the very, you know, earlier on, and then he has that moment. And I remember the first time I watched it, just like Columbus, I was like, oh my God, he's talking about his kid. So that kind of, it made it more interesting.
I think that's why the Twinkies are kind of so important to him.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I think there's a deeper meaning to the Twinkies other than the fact that they're delicious, spongy yellow bastards. I love that scene where they find the hostess truck and he's like, come here, you spongy, delicious yellow bastards.
And then it's snowballs.
Oh, those things are disgusting.
They are disgusting.
Felt his pain. Yes.
I know. I'm right there with him. I'm like, I hate, and he, you know, I'm like, I hate him too. I'm like, I love the smell of coconut, but I just hate the taste of it. He doesn't like the texture. I'm right there with you, buddy.
Yes.
I totally feel it. All right. Any other likes, John?
Likes. I love Tallahassee. I didn't think I would.
Right. I know.
Honestly. I love him. I love what you mentioned, you know, Columbus's rules. I like the fact that we don't get the names of the people except for Wichita tells Columbus her name at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
You know, and that was kind of nice. Biggest liker is Bill Murray. Bill Murray, I love those scenes. I love those scenes. And the fact that when he shot, that was ad-libbed. It was like, any regrets? Maybe Garfield.
Yeah. Because I read that most of the scenes with him were ad-libbed. And then also we got him because of Harrelson. Because I guess the person that was supposed to do it, who I could not find who actually was, dropped out. They had a laundry list of people they were going to try.
They asked a bunch of people and they all dropped out.
Yeah, but it was Woody Harrelson that was able to get Bill Murray into the movie, and I am so glad he did. So
I like to get out and do things.
He just played a round of golf. There's nobody there. He just walked right on. that just cracks me up. I love when they're carrying him out after he's dead. He's wearing golf shoes. They actually made sure he was still wearing golf shoes.
Yes.
I love
it. Mm-hmm.
Details are important. Dislikes, John.
I'm going to get some grief for this, but I will admit that I'm not the biggest fan of Columbus.
Okay.
He annoys me a little bit. I mean, I understand that's how he's supposed to be. And he's supposed to be this neurotic, insecure, OCD, anal retentive, socially awkward, everything. But at times, like, you know, when he's like looking at, you know, the girls, he's like, someone's in danger of having her hair brushed back. I'm like, look creepy, dude. you know, but I mean, he is essential for the the story. I think one of my biggest dislikes is the scene where Columbus and Little Rock, I'm sorry, Columbus and Tallahassee find the grocery store and go in to find the Twinkies.
Right.
What were Little Rock and Wichita just doing back in the back room there with these zombies, you know, floating around the store? That part doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me on how they would meet them.
I kind of chalked it up to where maybe they went in and got stuck in there. You know, it just happened to be and then they came trotting in. I don't know. Maybe they're hoping somebody else come in. I don't know. They figured, why not a grocery store? I don't know. But yeah, it's.
Well, I mean, at some point they have to eat.
Yeah, they have to eat too. So, I don't know.
And I get that. It just seems like there should just be more going on there. It just seems it's a little too clean for what I would expect in a zombie.
This whole movie is too clean. There are things. Really? I mean, right. Them rolling up on a yellow SUV filled with, you know, stuff in the back right after they got carjacked. I mean, come on. I mean, the whole movie.
Well, it wasn't right after. They were obviously walking for a while.
Everything's very convenient to keep the story going.
And you're not wrong. One of my biggest complaints is, how is the power still on? If everybody's a zombie except for these guys. And that's another thing. It's like, there's got to be a few other people along the way. They can't be the only four and Bill Murray left. So the power still being on and them not come in contact with anybody else is people are probably in bunkers and the ones that are hiding or whatever. But yeah, that to me, I forgive the ease of them finding a truck. I don't care, because to me, the biggest issue is, why is the power still on? And then when they get to Pacific Playland, why turn all the power on? Because if there's any zombies anywhere, you know it's going to attract them. They seem surprised when they're on the swinging ship that zombies are coming. I'm like,
well, why does Columbus put a box prop at the grocery store, an exit door open so that he can just push?
I don't know.
He just pushes it to get out. He's letting zombies in. He's giving
that's true.
Way to get in.
I don't know.
They leave outside the grocery store.
In his brain, it made sense, and I guess it, okay.
I think it goes back to his OCD personality, you know. Yeah. And I guess that's my biggest complaint, is why the hell Pacific Playland?
Because it couldn't get their rights to Disney.
But no, I mean, why are you going to a theme park in the middle of a...
Well, they explain that.
Wichita
says, you know, we went there when we were little kids, and you know, she hasn't been a kid for so long. And whatever.
I get that, and I'm sorry for her, but now's not the time to be a kid.
But then you don't have a movie.
Well, of course, there's no zombies. Remember, they keep hearing the rumor,
extinction.
Yeah,
that was wrong.
Yeah, well, of course, if we don't get that, then we don't get the really fun ending, you know.
It's totally fun, but I...
Him riding around on the roller coaster shooting zombies and then hanging from the one ride. I mean, come on. Yes. As ridiculous. Yeah. It's so much fun to watch. Oh my God. Yeah. You're thinking, I would love to do that. God, that'd be hilarious.
And Wichita and Little Rock get on the pirate ship ride. How the hell are you going to stop that?
Oh, I know. I thought that same thing.
They're all like that though. I mean, to be fair,
automatically, I guess they're on, it's on a timer and it just stops itself at some point.
I guess so. No. Well, they all came on as soon as they turned the power on. So whatever. Again, like I said,
if you question it too much, it does take away some of the enjoyment of the film.
I totally agree.
Yes. All right. So let's move on to favorites. John, you have a favorite scene?
Oh, you're not going to let me talk about my dislikes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry. Is it dissertation time? Do I need to do this?
My mistake. Yeah.
I'm going to get through these quicker than the others.
All right. All right. Your dislikes, JP. I'm going to get comfortable.
Yes, please. Okay. All right. So the voiceover is overused. And I say that because it's used. I mean, we've either been shown what he's talking about or we are immediately shown afterwards. And frankly, it came off like the director just didn't trust his ability to tell the story. And so he spoon fed it to us. And I'm going to give you some examples so people understand where I'm coming from. here's a voiceover. Tallahassee is in the business of ass kicking. Duh. What Twinkies mean to Tallahassee? Duh. Columbus desires to be part of a cool, functional family. Duh. Watch Tallahassee killing zombies is like art. Duh. We're all orphans in zombie land. Duh. Wherever this girl is where I want to be. Duh. Buck is actually Tallahassee's son, not his dog. This one pisses me off that they did a voiceover during that scene where you find out.
Right.
It totally ruins that scene for me, but I think that's actually the point. Maybe they want this film to be superficial. And so, you know, so they have Tallahassee, you know, say, I haven't cried like this since Titanic, and wipe his eyes with real money that they're using to play with Monopoly. It just totally takes any emotional impact out of that. And I thought that would have been a great moment to leave the emotional impact in it.
Okay.
I very much dislike that choice. The hostess thing was funny at the beginning until I realized this whole movie is about product placement. And that really ticks me off when it's that obvious. I mean, Mountain Dew Code Red, Hostess, Cadillac, Lancome Magnifique, the perfume or whatever. I was just like, how much money did you take from marketers? A lot. Okay. Anyway. And this one just annoyed me. Some of the humor just doesn't hold up after years once you get into it, you know, a different, I don't know, political age. And I'm going to say that starting out the movie with Columbus calling, you know, them fatties. And then later on, I'm like, yeah, you can't get away with that anymore. And then them going into a Native American themed store and destroying it and like wearing the headdresses and do it. I'm like, oh, that does not sit right. That does not play well.
Well, she's not going to like my favorite scene then. So,
okay. All right. Great. But anyway, I'm just saying those things for me dated the film a bit. And that's it.
Which is, considering 2009 really isn't that long ago. So that's, you know.
I know, but I know. And it's amazing how much Lizzo can change things. So there you go. But oh, I forgot. I have one more. I'm calling bullshit on the using the toilet tank lid as a weapon and it not breaking. Very what? Much.
Have you tried this?
I'm just saying, have you ever? I mean, I'm sorry. That thing would have broken on the first whack. I'm sorry. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So anyway, but that's right. That again, since the movie's superficial, that's my superficial dislike.
All right.
Yo, Murray, you're a zombie.
Ah! Ah! Oh, God, I'm on fire! Ouch!
You're not a zombie. You're talking. You're okay.
The hell I am.
I'm sorry. I didn't know that it was you.
Are you? What's with the get up?
Oh, I do it to blend in. You know, zombies don't mess with other zombies. Buddy of mine, makeup guy, showed me how to do this. Cornstarch, you know, some berries, a little licorice for the ladies. Suits my lifestyle. You know, I like to get out and do stuff. Just played 9 holes over Riviera. Just walked on. Nobody there. God damn it, Bill fucking Murray!
Okay, well, I guess we'll move on to the, you know, happier things. No, I'm kidding. John, your favorite scene.
Favorite scene. The entire interaction with Bill Murray is my favorite part of the movie.
Okay. All right.
I'm not going to lie. I love that. I love, you know, Tallahassee fawning over Murray, you know. It's like, you know, I lost my virginity to your movies, you know. And not that that's related. Because I have this entire backstory in my head that Tallahassee is gay.
Okay.
And he, yeah, I just, you know.
Well, they never do mention his wife.
They never mention his wife, you know. He's either he's gay or he's a single dad, you know. So that's how I add a little bit more depth to the character, is I make up a little bit more backstory to it. that and, you know, the first meeting between Tallahassee and Columbus where he's like, I can tell you're going to get on my last fucking nerves. You know?
Yeah.
You know, but it's there's something about him that, you know, he sees that this kid is not going to make it on his own. And he's trying to play this tough guy, like, you know, yeah, I'll take you so far. And then we're cutting our ways, you know. Nah, yeah, it's, you know, from the get go, he's not letting this kid go through this alone. But he's deep down inside, he's a good guy. Okay. He's putting on this tough exterior because, like everybody else in this movie, his life turned to literal shit overnight.
Okay. All right. JP, is that your favorite scene too, the Bill Murray?
Well, of course. I mean, come on. but I, you know, a couple others I'd like to, because I knew everybody would talk about the Bill Murray scene. The passing time in the car scene, which is a bunch of short scenes,
yes,
where they're having these snid, you get these snidbits of like travel conversations that you wouldn't right. like normally have. Any family would probably have on a right, road yeah. trip, and you get to the one where. Little Rock is explaining to Tallahassee that Hannah Montana is only popular when she's wearing the wig.
Right.
And he's like, is it totally? Really? They are?
Yeah, that's all ad-lib. The Hannah Montana scene was ad-lib.
Well, that's brilliant because like yeah. Tallahassee's into it, like into the conversation. Yeah. I love that. And then this from a special, well, I don't even know if you want to call it special effects kind of aspect, but my favorite, I guess, camera work scene is when they find that yellow SUV and, you know, Tallahassee's coming around and he sees the hands on right. the, and he's thinking, you know, there's a zombie in there. Somebody's in there. And then the camera slowly comes around to reveal it's just the forearms.
Yeah. Just the hands
left. Mm-hmm. And then he has to shoot a bird with and he takes it off. I'm sorry. Again, the 12-year-old boy in me loved that.
I know. I love that. He really flips it. I just cracks me up, man. Just flips it. Oh
yeah, yeah. And then I honorable mention is when Tallahassee is rattling off a bunch of euphemisms for having sex to Columbus, and Columbus doesn't
understand any.
Has
of them.
Never heard any of them. Doesn't understand any of it. And I was just and I'm like, I was wondering if he like how many of those were actually in the script, or if
right?
you know, or if he came up with a few. And then I have a question for you guys. Okay. I've got to take the Browns to the Super Bowl. Is that a commonly used euphemism in the North for taking a shit?
I've heard that one.
I've heard that one.
I've never heard that in my life.
Yeah. Taking the Browns to the Super Bowl, dropping the Cosby kids off the pool.
What? Any others? I've got to know these because this is hysterical.
Was it pinch a loaf?
Busting a grumpy.
Man, this episode has really gone, you know.
Sorry. No,
That's okay. Oh, it's just funny. I can honestly say I've never used, you know, taking the Browns to the Super Bowl. That's not really.
Oh, I have.
Well, good for you, John. I knew what he meant, but, you know, I was just like, oh.
He didn't. I'm going to tell you. You can cut this out, but I have to admit this. I so had never heard that before. I had to go back and turn on subtitles and go, what is he saying about the Browns? Why is he talking about football right now? And then I was like, oh, that's a you. I was like, I've never heard that in my life. So I had to that's put hilarious. It in my notes to ask you guys.
Yeah. All right. Oh, that's funny. Okay. So I'm going to still be honest about my favorite scene, even though it might upset JP. I like the scene in the souvenir shop, and I understand that it's, you know, might not be as PC as it should be, but I look at it as just another place for them to stop, you know, stretch your legs, and for them to bond. We see Columbus, you know, his feelings for, Wichita, and then, you know, them enjoying the little things by destroying the place, you know, and that could have been any. You know, they're in the Southwest, so it's going to be something like that regardless. But I like how it's shot. I like the slow motion. I like the fact that they're having fun and, in, you know, kind of bonding in this toilet bowl of a world right now. So that's one. I like that scene more than them playing Monopoly and, and even the car ride, just because of, I kind of see the relationships building in that scene. So
yeah, it's an important scene. I'm just saying the location of it doesn't hold up.
Right. You know, it's probably owned by white people, so it doesn't. Oh,
well, I know. And I was like, but they didn't make a point of that. Like, this is something that should be destroyed. You know, they didn't. It just looks like white people destroying Native American artifacts and wearing headdress. I'm like, no.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So favorite character, John.
I'm going to go Tallahassee.
Okay.
I'm not a huge Woody Harrelson fan. But everything, which is weird for me to say, because everything I've seen him in, I've liked what he's done and everything that I've seen.
Right. Right. Okay.
Yeah. There's just something about him. You know, I think that he's a deeper character than he lets on. I think he's funny. You can clearly tell that he's, you know, he cares deeply for Columbus. He even though he's not going to let Columbus know this, he's, you know, he's adopted this guy that's given him some purpose in getting through this, and he's going to do everything he can to get him through it. But at the same time, there's flashes of, you know, he's got a bit of a death wish. He doesn't really care what happens. He still has those flashes where he doesn't care what happens to him,
right?
Because he lost the most important thing in the world to him,
right?
You know, and JP said it, you know, maybe they should have played that scene out a little bit longer with him talking about it. But I think it would have drastically changed the vibe of the movie. And I don't know if that would be a good or a bad thing for this particular film. I don't know that this film can survive going as deep as sometimes Shaun of the Dead does. Because it's ultimately, I read that it was inspired by Shaun of the Dead. I'll go with Tallahassee.
All right. So I'm going to pile on that. It was Wichita until I think she kind of blows it when she turns all the power on at Pacific Playland, because she spends the whole rest of the movie being smart and being smarter than everybody else and conning everybody else. And just like, it never occurs to her that turning this on might be a bad idea. So anyway, so I'm going with Tallahassee because he's just so much fun. His character cracks me up. He has some of the best lines in the entire movie. And yeah, so he's my favorite. JP, your favorite?
Yeah, Tallahassee. He wins. He has the most depth out of all of them. But I do love that, you know, he opens himself up to the possibility of caring about people. And I do agree, he has a total death wish. Like, you know, through the whole thing, he really does not care if he lives or dies, which actually puts him in situations which provide great comedy and things like that. But like when he touches Little Rock's head before he thinks he's going to have to shoot her.
Yeah.
And when he teaches her how to like calm herself before shooting and builds a fort with her. I mean, all of those things make him very endearing. Throughout it, you know, and then he's just funny as hell. I don't know. Now,
is it just me, or does it look like, and I'm curious if there were reshoots or not, but in this Pacific Playland, when he locks himself in the souvenir stand, I'm like, did they originally write this where he did not survive this?
Because I don't know.
I think it could have. There might be a scene out there where he doesn't. But
I can totally see that. Because he's, like you said, he's the deepest character in the film, and his sacrifice would be the hardest felt, I think, for the audience if that's how it played out.
Yeah, but again, it's superficial. They're never going to go there. And so, like, ultimately in the edit room, even if they shot it, if they didn't let him have his moment revealing that, you know, he had a child that was lost, they're not going to bring the end of it down.
And besides, you can't do a sequel without him.
Well, this was originally supposed to be a television series.
Yeah, I saw that too. Okay. For this particular movie, which is your favorite zombie kill, John?
It's a zombie kill that's only mentioned. It's never shown. It's when he's talking about the guy running over the zombie with the road paver.
And he's like, the head is the cap.
Yeah, you ever squeeze, you know, tube of toothpaste and the head's the cap? You ever squeeze a toothpaste from the bottom? And Columbus is like, you always squeeze it from the bottom.
Yep. Yes, yes, that's a good one. Okay. All right. How about you, JP?
Mine is at Pacific Playland when the guys show up to rescue, and it's outside before they go in, I think, but it's an overhead shot, and they like run over some and then rerun over, and there's bodies flying everywhere and being crunched and everything. And my film brain went to, I wonder how they shot that. Like, I really wish that, I'm wondering if there's a behind the scenes on how they shot that. I don't know if those are dummies, if it's CG, but I love, you know, I really enjoyed it. So that was my favorite.
All right.
Well, there was no actual blood used in this movie. It's all CG. So what? I would imagine that's
probably, really?
There's no blood. There is no blood. It's all CGI.
Man.
Well, I have to say I did not enjoy the opening sequence because it was obvious. Well, and then as a woman, I'm going to represent for the women. Who needs slow motion stripper boobs? Nobody.
Oh, come on. It's still funny. But
it's funny, but it went on way too long. I was like, now it's just offensive.
It went on just as long as the burning zombie runs into the fireman, you know, into the fire people, that's hilarious. But I love the opening. I love the opening sequence because it's just, it's situational. It's like, I don't know. I love it. And of course you're playing From the Bell Tolls. So leave it alone. No, just kidding.
No.
Okay. So I could not decide. It's either the banjo in the supermarket, which is hilarious. When Columbus kills the clown at Pacific Playland.
Oh my god. Look at this fucking clown. Oh, of course. It had to be a clown. Fuck. Time to nut up or shut up. Fuck this clown.
Because that clown is frightening on its own. And then he hits it with the giant mallet. And then he hits him in the head and then you hear the nose squeak. I love it, man. It's just hilarious. Okay. If you were to find a vehicle during the zombie apocalypse, what number would you paint on the side? John.
In reference to another one of my all-time favorite movie heroes, I'm going to paint a 37 on the side for Kevin Smith.
All right. All right. How about you, JP?
Well, this doesn't make any sense at all, but a John A. Y. number 7? I don't know.
That's funny because if I happen to find a red car, I'm putting a number 16 for Joe Montana.
There you go.
But if it's black, I'm going to put a number 13 because it's my favorite number.
All right. Well, then there you go.
All right. See, that worked out. Okay. So let's do our compare questions from movie to movie. So. I'm pretty sure I know JP's answer to this first one. Which movie has the better opening titles? John, you can go first.
As much as I love Metallica like you do, and granted, you're a bigger Metallica fan than I am, I like the opening to Shaun of the Dead much more.
Okay. All right, JP?
Of course, Shaun of the Dead. I mean,
I figured.
It actually tells the story.
All right, well, I like Zombieland just because with the song and then you basically see the fall of society in that, you know, minute and a half to 2 minutes. And I just think the visuals are fun. Okay. Which movie has the better soundtrack? John.
This is a tough one because I honestly, I'll admit I've never really paid a ton of attention to the soundtrack, for either one. But I'm going to have to go with Zombieland because I can't stand Coldplay.
That's a fair answer. Oh man, that's good. Okay, JP.
Mine is Zombieland because I grew up on alternative rock and emo rock, and so you know I'm loving that kind of modern version of that they're playing. And I'm actually thinking about downloading the soundtrack now that I've like kind of gone through and listened to it. And the Shaun of the Dead music to me is more like techno sounding, and I never really got in to that as much. It's great, to play behind scenes,
right,
and to work within the film, but just to sit around and listen to. It's going to be Zombieland.
All right. Yeah, me too. Like I said, I was all in when I heard Metallica. Okay, so who would you rather spend the zombie apocalypse with? The cities or Shaun of the Dead crew? John.
Oh, man. I think my survival chance is better with the cities. Well, maybe not. No,
well, all four of them make it to the end of the movie. That doesn't happen in Shaun of the Dead.
But I think... I don't know. I think I'd rather spend it with the Shaun of the Dead crew.
Okay. All right. How about you, JP?
Well, if we're talking at the end of the movie, like if we can hook up with them at the end, then I'm with the cities from Zombieland. Because frankly, if I'm going to be in that situation, I'm going to want to, you know, travel and see the country, and that's all they're doing,
right,
is like kind of traveling from like, right, getting to adventures. So that's what I would do.
All right. Yeah, I'm picking the cities too. I kind of feel like there's just a better survival percentage with them. Mm. Okay. Who had the better intentions? Sean taking everyone to the Winchester, or Wichita taking her little sister to Pacific Playland? John.
I'm going to go with Sean on this one, because I think while it's not neither plan is incredibly well thought out.
No.
I think Sean was looking out more for the group from the get-go. Little Rock and Wichita, they didn't think they could trust anybody, so they were only looking out for themselves.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm gonna go with Sean.
All right, JP.
I'm gonna say Wichita taking Little Rock to Playland, because I viewed Sean differently. I viewed him just, you know, the Winchester was his comfort zone, and it was the only place he was going to feel comfortable, you know, and he tried to make up excuses why it would be good. You know, it's got heavy doors, it's got, you know, this or whatever, you know. But it really just, you know, his whole life was going there daily. And so, right, when he was in panic mode, that's all he thought about. And, you know, and I can understand Wichita almost thinking, you know, that she and Little Rock may not have a whole lot of time left, and so why not give this kid, you know, one last, you know, final,
okay,
kind of nice moment.
All right,
that's fair. But Sean's original plan was to go to Liz's and wait it out. It was Ed who wanted to go to the Winchester.
That's true. Well, yeah, because first it was the Liz's, then it was to their house, and but of course look at the, yep, state of it. And so then, yeah, but yeah, either way, you know, yeah, I still think, because I struggled with this, because I think at first Sean was trying to do right. But I still think it was very selfish, because I still think he was just trying to save Liz. Because, yeah, but either way, I think I'm going to go with Wichita. Because, you know, because I do think that she was trying to give her sister one last happy memory before they got eaten. Okay. John, which movie makes you laugh more?
Oh God, that's not a fair question.
I know it's not.
Each movie makes me laugh for different reasons. Probably. Now, I'll be honest, I laugh more at Zombieland because of some of the gags and some of the situations they get into. But I laugh harder at Shaun of the Dead.
All right. All right. So that was a cheater answer. Got it. Okay. JP.
I actually laugh during Zombieland more. I'm sorry. Tallahassee cracks me up. I really liked his character. Yep. And it's really not a fair fight when you have Bill Murray in your movie. Well, from a woman's standpoint, it's really difficult to watch Sean and Ed be like, their man-child relationship for an entire movie. I mean, it's funny, you know, but still, you're also cringing just a little bit.
Okay. So I'm actually kind of like with John. It's like, I think I laugh more at Zombieland because I've seen it less. Because I've seen Shaun of the Dead way more. So it's still funny, and I still like how it's put together. So I think my answer is going to be Zombieland, because that's the one, yeah, I've seen it less, so I laugh more at Zombieland. So, all right. Which one is your favorite? I don't think I really have to ask either one of you two, but John, I'm guessing it is.
It is Shaun of the Dead. Yeah.
All right. JP?
Shaun of the Dead.
See, I'm so torn to the point to where I almost flipped a coin because it's so hard for me to decide. I love everything that's put into Shaun of the Dead, but I just enjoy watching Zombieland so much because it is superficial, but it's just so much fun to watch. So I guess I'm going to go with Shaun of the Dead between the two, but just by a zombie head.
Yeah. My reasoning for saying that is I feel like Shaun holds up just a little bit better than Zombieland does.
Oh, it does.
Okay. It does. All right. That's fair.
It really does. And it's really well crafted. I never thought that I would be saying those words when I went into watching two zombie movies. But literally, any film students out there, you could write a dissertation on Shaun of the Dead.
Right.
It's very layered.
Done. We've seen it done.
Yes, we've seen it done tonight. Yes.
I just got them started. You know, all right. I deleted about 2 pages worth of stuff. I was trying to edit myself a little bit since I'm all for editing of movies.
All right. Well, this was definitely a lot of fun. Thank you, JP, for stopping by and giving us your dissertation on Shaun of the Dead. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. Sorry, it was so long.
Oh, that's okay.
No, it was awesome.
It was awesome. All right, John, thanks as always. What do you got going on, John?
Let's see. My biggest thing for right now is I have been contacted by a gentleman on Facebook who has bought some of my art. He has a project that I'm really excited to be a part of. It is called the Crow Sketchbook Project. What he has done is he has this extremely rare Crow comic. I'm not sure how many copies there are. It is essentially a blank comic. It's a sketchbook with little pictures by the original artist of the Crow, James O'Barr, in the corner of it. And what he is doing is he has come up with a list of artists. He is sending this book around the United States and Canada. And I was contacted and I'm asked to be a part of this. I am so flipping jazzed about this. I don't know what's going to come of the book, if it's just going to be a private collection or not, but anytime I can be a part of something that means that much to somebody, I'm all for it. So there's a Facebook page link that I'm sure you're going to put in the notes I've provided you. I should get the book. As of right now, I think the timing of me getting it is going to be March. So there's a little bit of time before my art will be posted, but of course I'll be blowing up the feeds with that when I get a chance. And I encourage you guys to look at it and follow it, because stuff like this is just really cool to see independent artists part of something like this.
Very, very cool. I'm excited. All right. Well, as always, I'd like to thank the listeners for stopping by and making us a part of your day. I appreciate it. Do us a favor. Like, follow, subscribe, rate, and review on your podcast app of choice. You can follow us on social media, on Twitter at DockingBay77Pod, on Facebook at DockingBay77Podcast, and email DockingBay77Podcast@gmail.com. If you want to help out in other ways, you can go to Patreon, and for as little as $1 a month, you can help offset the cost of the production of this podcast. Some upcoming episodes next week to conclude our month of celebrating Halloween. We are discussing the debut record from Black Sabbath. And then the first week of November, we are listing off our top 7 golden age of cinema. So that's going to be pretty awesome. We're also going to celebrate Terry Gilliam's birthday, and we're going to discuss Time Bandits. Do yourself a favor, watch more movies. And remember, physical media is better than streaming. The Docking Bay 77 podcast is produced and edited by Dayton Johnson, recorded with Rode Pod mics, the Zoom PodTrack P4, and edited on Audacity. Opening music provided by Eric Jason Brock. You can find him on YouTube and Bandcamp.
Thank you for listening.